How was church? This is a question that you might get asked regularly or occasionally. But I wonder how you answer that question. How was church? Just think in your mind. Some might say, well, you know, I had a really good chat with Sonia. Who's somewhere? Sonia? There you are. Had a great chat with Sonia this morning. We sang some good songs. The preacher went on a bit. There was cake. I always like cake. It was really good. Last week we heard Norman's testimony, and that was really positive. Sometimes you might say, oh, I wasn't really feeling it today. It was quite hard work. But how we answer this question is reveals something about our expectations and attitudes. Is a Sunday meeting about what I get out of it? Is it about who you get to chat to? Is it really all about the sermon? Is that what is most important on a Sunday or something else? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. This is the final sermon in our series called God's Empowering Presence, where we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. And I've called this message Sunday Expectations. And we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 14 this morning. If you've got a Bible, you might want to turn there. Now, this kind of is the end of all that we've looked at. So if you're here for the first time and you're thinking, I don't understand all of this, hopefully I will explain it well enough. But this is a bit of a journey that we've been on since January, both on Sundays and Wednesday nights. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 14 from 1 to 33. And then I'm going to sort of take us through that. But I felt it was important that we understand fully what Paul's saying here. So it says this: pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For no one who speaks in a tongue, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets it so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for war? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners, will I speak to this people? And even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. While prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and then outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all, and he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. What then, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there only be two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak and let others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks truth to us. We ask this morning, Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts. Lord, we want to have open hearts to hear what you want to say to us this morning. Pray that you would lead us in your paths, that we would fall more deeply in love with Jesus, and that we would follow you wherever you lead us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot in here about tongues and prophecy. And we've looked at these on a Wednesday night, so if you've missed those for any reason and you'd like to know more, come and see me. But we're going to look at really what this chapter is about, and from verse 26 on, it really summarises what we want to look at this morning, which is about each one has something to bring. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to chapter 14, Paul is speaking to the gathered church and addressing some of the issues that were affecting the church in Corinth. Chapter 12 speaks of the body. Each person has different gifts, but they all are from the same spirit and they all form the body. And we all need to be valued. It speaks about the value of each person to ensure a healthy church. Now, verse 13 really is the meat in the burger. I'm sorry if you're a vegan, but meat is the key ingredient in a burger. You don't want a burger bun with nothing in the middle. You want meat in the middle. You want something of substance. And the meat, the vital ingredient in these chapters is love. 1 Corinthians is mostly known from weddings. Lorna might be considering this later on in the year, maybe. And it says this: love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And what a passage and what a principle to apply in marriage. But actually the context here isn't marriage, it's the church. That's how our relationships should be characterised, by love. And Paul is saying, in the midst of the worship service, the time when you're gathered together, all your relationships together, they should be characterised by this kind of love. And that's because this is what God's like. God is love. And this leads us to 1 Corinthians 14. And this really is the application of these principles. And this is about participation and order. And the chief principle of gathering together as a church is for building up. Building each other up. Church is about where you can serve and use your gifts, where you can love others and give of yourself to bless other people. Jesus said, this is Matthew 20, just continuing from where we looked at earlier, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. The Bible paints a picture of Jesus like a husband who pursues his unfaithful bride. She's interested in all sorts of things, but not him. She's unfaithful, and he is the one who gives of himself to bring back his unfaithful bride, which is the church. Jesus is the one who pays the price to bring his bride back. He gives his life for her. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." This is what love looks like. Serving, giving of yourself. And Jesus did this by submitting to the Father's plan and then allowing himself to be nailed to the cross. Hebrews 12:2 speaks of Jesus enduring the cross because of the joy that was before him. I wonder what you think that is. The joy that was before Jesus. It's us. It's his bride. That was the joy that was before Jesus. That's the reason he went to the cross. That's the reason he endured the cross, because it was for a people like us. Now, I know me, and you know you, and you think, really? Really? You die for me? Not worthy. But that's the truth of the gospel. It says, we all like sheep have gone astray, and God has laid on him the iniquity, the sin, the wrongdoing of us all. Why? So that we could find forgiveness and restoration in relationship. This is the good news. This is the great news. And we are the bride of Christ. We reflect something of him to the world around through our love and service of each other. And serving others actually makes us happy. We'd be led to believe that we're most happy when others serve us. But actually, when we serve others, we find happiness and joy in that, because that's how we've been made. We've not been made to be self-centered. And when we look at each other, and when we look to each other's needs and we serve each other, and we all do that, our needs are actually met as well, but they're just met by someone else. So our passage today, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul speaks primarily about these two gifts, tongues and prophecy. And tongues is speaking in a heavenly language, one which you don't understand, but God gives you to enable you to speak and connect with him at a deeper level. You know, when you send a card to someone you love, Valentine's Day a few months ago, send a card to someone you love. It's quite hard to explain yourself sometimes, isn't it? Or if you want to say thank you, someone's been kind to you, and you want to say thank you, and you think, my words just sound so inferior. You know, I don't know how to explain and how to communicate. And God gives us a language that enables us to communicate with him at a deep level, but it's one that we don't truly understand and others don't. Prophecy is about revealing more of God's plans and purposes. Sometimes it's related to the future, but more often it's related to what God wants to do in the here and now. And Paul is not against either of these things. In fact, he encourages them to speak in tongues later on in that passage. But he recognises that prophecy has a greater role in the gathered church because it builds up. Whereas tongues primarily build up the one who speaks them, prophecy builds up the church. The Sunday gathering of church is for the encouragement and the building up of everyone. Everyone here. And Paul really wants to turn the Corinthians' attention to the people sitting around them. And he's done this throughout 1 Corinthians. They wanted to argue over which apostle they were following. And Paul says, we're fellow workers. You're God's field, you're God's building. He recognises that they all have different roles to play, and it's not about one being more important than the other. When they wanted to argue over rights and knowledge, Paul reminded them of their responsibility for each other. and that they should actually limit their freedom to help each other. And when in chapter 11 they were selfish regarding the bread of communion, the body of Christ, Paul reminded them, you're the body of Christ, all of you. You're God's building. And we can sometimes, in worship, in churches, we can sometimes be encouraged to focus on God. Forget the person next to you. Focus on God. And sometimes this can be helpful. Sometimes it can be helpful to tune out those distractions. But actually, Sundays are a time when we should consider who is around us. We should consider who's next to us. We sing a song, How Great Is Our God. We close our eyes. But those words, sing with me, it's an encouragement. You should say, TJ, sing with me, How Great Is Our God. It's about us coming together. And being in the West, we can be individualistic and we can think about ourselves. But Sundays are a time when we build each other up. In verse 2, Paul highlights three things that prophecy does. Encouragement, building up, and comfort. And verse 26 gives the answer about how that's going to happen and actually revolutionises some of our expectations of Sunday worship. Paul says, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. He's saying, we all have something to bring. Now, you've probably seen my children. If you've been here a few times, you might have seen my children. They tend to sit at the front here. And they never come unprepared for Sunday. They have multiple toys that they bring. We normally have to say, no, there's a limit. They come prepared. And we have to prepare them with, you know, juice and crisps or whatever they need. They come prepared. But so should we. Everyone can bring a song, a lesson, an interpretation, a tongue. This is saying we should come prepared, ready to share. That sounds like quite a long meeting, doesn't it? Hold on, Peter. Right, you go, and then we'll go round, and 6 hours later, we'll go home. Now, that's not what Paul's saying. But he's saying, actually, we should be prepared. We should be ready to participate. And we should be looking for an opportunity when God might say, you need to share that with that person. You need to encourage them. We should become coming ready. And this is radically different from how church sometimes can be, where it's just led from the front. And you can sit there and participate as you would like, but it's very front-led. And this looks very different from that. We have an amazing opportunity, amazing community here. And I don't think any of us come to get our God fix and then rush off, you know, I've done my God bit, off I go. We stay around, we chat to each other. But the truth that God wants to draw out here is that we all have something spiritual to bring, not just being friendly, but we all have something spiritual to bring on a Sunday. And as a church, we have a good number of people who share. It was great this morning when Peter said, you know, a few people pray out, went silent for a minute, and then we had a few people pray out. And then Iris prayed out. She's talking about Jesus and Jesus on the cross. And then that worked exactly with the next song we had planned. And you think, hold on. God's at work here. God's moving by his spirit. He's leading us. And we didn't plan. I didn't say, Iris, can you pray at this point? Because that would be really helpful and lead Peter into that. God's at move. And that's what God does by his spirit. And we have a number of people who share their testimony. We have that. And this is encouraging. But what about a revelation? How about this week? What did God say to you when you read the Bible this week? Could you share it? What about a prophecy? God giving you a message or a picture that you can share with the church? How about a tongue? Now that's harder. Share a tongue and wait to see if someone will interpret it. Stepping out in faith. This says each one. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, each one.
Peter, you have to turn around. Right, now go to the other person, or if there's no one there, look behind you and say, each one. Okay. Now, imagine there's a mirror in your face and say to yourself, each one. Each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And then it continues. Let all things be done for building up. We're here to build each other up. That's what church is about. The Christian life isn't easy. I don't know if you've known that. It's not actually meant to be easy. Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles. He didn't say, follow me and it will all be rosy. In this world you will have troubles. And we need Sundays to be encouraged, equipped, strengthened and supported. And each one bringing their gift and using it ensures the body is built up. Cindy challenged us a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. And she said, in essence, I'm not quoting word for word. She says, we don't want to shortchange each other by not using our gifts and building each other up. God's given us all gifts. We all have an ability to build each other up. This means we need to be bold. Unity Church needs each person using their gifts and participating on a Sunday morning. Now, I recognise that we're at different stages of our journeys. Some of us feel more confident, some of us don't. And that's okay. God works with you where you are. But I want to encourage us to look at taking steps forwards to build others up. Look for an opportunity. Come prepared with something that you could share with someone else. Say, hey, you know, I was reading this in the Bible this week. It really encouraged me, but it might encourage you. Maybe God just wants you to encourage the person next to you. Maybe something significant's happened and you need to come here. You need to come here and share because it will bless and it will build and encourage. It's not about you, it's about God building the church through you, and there's an invitation to be part of that. And there's a safety here. If you think, oh, I feel like I should share this, but I don't know. There's always someone here. You could say, I feel like I should share this, but I don't know. And that person could say, yeah, I think that's a great idea, or let's leave that one for the minute. There's a safety net here, and that's important. If you've got a word or encouragement or a prophecy, and you think, I need to share that with that person over there, but I'd like to do it with someone else. Grab someone and say, can you come with me? That's what we need to be. We're a church. We're together. So, when we're asked, how did church go today? Maybe you'll be asked it later today. You'll think, oh no. We might say, wow, Iris prayed this prayer and then we sung this song and we were just amazed again at who Jesus was and what he'd done. You might say, well, let's have a look, who should we pick on? I'd say, well, Farhad brought a prayer and that really encouraged me. It really helped me to focus. Then TJ had a prophetic word and then we sung this song and there was a real sense of God's presence with us. It was like we were in a different place as we were praising God. And this is what we want to see Sunday by Sunday. God, signs of God's presence moving amongst us. In a way that we haven't totally planned. God can work through order and he works through preparation. I believe that because I prepare my sermons. If I didn't, then I'd just turn up. Well, God will give me something and off we go. God works through preparation, but he also works in the spontaneous. And often that spontaneity adds an extra layer and an extra definition to what's been prepared. So this morning, we've not sung so much as we would normally, because we want to step into something new. Okay? In a moment, Peter and the band are going to come and we're going to sing a few more songs, and we're going to allow God to lead us by the Spirit. And I want to encourage you to step out and participate. If you're a guest with us this morning, just enjoy the time as we worship God. But if you're here and you know this is your church and you feel a sense of God stirring you, let's be bold and let's step out. Because when we do, we will leave this place and we will think, wow, God has moved in an amazing way amongst us. So, praying out, maybe you've got a Bible verse you want to come and read, or you can read it from where you are, nice and loud. Maybe you have a prophecy. Come and share it. Tongue, interpretation. Are we up for having a go? One of us is. Right, great. Neil, it's me and you. Let's go. Are we up for having a go?
Yes.
Yes. Why don't you stand up? I'll invite the band back. Just wonder if we should... I'm going to bring the microphone back because it's ready. It's ready and it's on. So if you want to share, it's there. But before, let's just quiet our hearts before God. You might want to open your hands if you feel comfortable to do so. I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit. I told Peter he needs 8 songs now, or something like that. Because we're just going to see where God leads us. We're going to have a bit of a freedom. All right? But let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what Jesus has done on the cross. Lord, we thank you that none of us come here on our own merit, claiming to be amazing people. Lord, we recognise that our best efforts were just filthy rags. And Lord, we needed you to save us. We needed to shout, Hosanna, save us. But Lord, we recognise that you have done that. You have saved us and you have rescued us and you've changed our lives and you've called us to be a people. You've brought us into your church. And Lord, we thank you that you send your Spirit to equip and empower us, and you want us to be a community of the Spirit. And Lord, that word, each one. I just want to ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us afresh? I want to pray even now, would you pop verses or pictures into our minds that we can share so that the body will be built up? Well, we want to see the body strengthened. We want to see Unity Church strengthened and empowered and equipped, stronger than we've been before. And we recognise that this is part of that process. So Lord, we pray, would you move amongst us by your Spirit? And we pray for boldness. Lord, for some of us, it might be boldness just to pray out from where we are or to read a scripture. For some, it might be actually coming and standing at the front. But Lord, we pray for boldness and we say, Holy Spirit, we're open to what you want to do. Lord, we don't want to plan this and work it all out, but we say, Lord, we're open to what you want to do. And we pray, would you move amongst us and lead us in your paths and your ways? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.